Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet. I am joined by Jamal Mayers, who's with us nightly on Blackhawks Pre and Post Game Live. How you doing, Jammer?
I'm doing great.
You ready to do this podcast thing?
Let's do this. All right. What is a podcast?
Well, you're going to find out. let's start with the Blackhawks here. Finally, after starting the season with two losses, they get back-to-back wins against Nashville, much-needed win on Saturday night, and then a crazy game against Philadelphia. They jump out to a 4-0 lead. Philly storms back to get even at 4-4. And they put them away, finally 7-4. What was just your takeaway from these two wins?
Well, resilience. And you think about what this club had gone through to get the lead and then to lose it. The concern was, had the momentum shifted enough at the end of the second period into the third, at that point the Flyers tying the game, how would the Hawks respond with so many different young players in the lineup? Well, the veterans showed up, and they found a way to get it done.
And those veterans, it was really led by Anisimov, Panarin, and Kane. You know, Patrick said on Monday at practice, it's up to the veterans to pick up the slack. You know, we've been focusing so much on the young guys, especially the young forwards that are trying to get acclimated to the NHL, get acclimated to playing for the Blackhawks. You know, Kane said it's up to the veterans to pick up the slack. Well, it was those three guys on this particular night, Tuesday night, that really took a hold of this game and put it in the win column.
Yeah, there's no question. You think about the chemistry that these three have with Anisimov, Panarin, and Kane, and the fact that, you know, you have to give credit to Patrick Kane, and no one really talks about his leadership skills, but certainly stepping to the forefront, putting himself out there and recognizing that he needed to play better, he needed to perform, he needed to produce, and taking on that responsibility is something that no one really sees, but something he certainly takes very seriously. And for him to come out and have the performance he had, particularly in the third period when the team needed him most, says a lot about who he is and what it means to him to take his game to that even next level.
Now look, I understand what Joel was trying to do at the beginning of the season. You know, he wants to see more balanced scoring from his lines. It was hard last year to see Taves and, at the time, Hossa start off with like five or six different left wingers. So I understood, you know, splitting up Panarin, but like, there's just certain players, and they were the most dynamic line in the NHL last year. You got the MVP and the Rookie of the Year. I know you want to infuse offense elsewhere, but then you take away this special chemistry that these two guys, I mean, the two-on-ones, they're a thing of beauty. He's locked and loaded. 88 puts it in his wheelhouse, and it's a genuflect to the back of the net. It's, you know, they make it look so easy. If they're out there with a different partner, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work out the same way.
No, it doesn't. And I think that they feed off of that energy and that familiarity and the ability that they know that they can create offense out of virtually nothing. And their ability to make lateral passes and their ability to think the game the same, particularly through the neutral zone when they come in pairs, make it so difficult for opposing defense and opposing teams. They find a way to create offense out of virtually nothing. They can finish in so many different ways, as I mentioned. And basically, teams know it's coming.
Yeah.
They know it's
yeah.
coming, and they still can't
right,
stop
right.
it.
I mean, all last year, you knew there was one line you need to focus on. I mean, this team offensively was stagnant. It was relying on a power play to score goals and one line, and NHL teams could still not stop them. So it just tells you, you know, how special they really are.
Yeah, it does, but you can also understand and appreciate what Joel's trying to accomplish in the respect that, you know, trying to figure out how am I going to create offense on more than just one line. If we become a one-line team, we become more, you know, a lot easier to defend. So I can understand the thought process, but if you think of players in pairs, I wouldn't break up Panarin and Kane. You may move out Anisimov and even try Taser in there, but for me, I really think that there's a special chemistry with all three, but in particular, Panarin and Kane.
All right, the big subplot to Tuesday night's game was Marian Hossa tallying his 500th career goal. He becomes just the 44th player in NHL history to reach the 500-goal milestone, fifth to do it in a Blackhawks jersey. This guy, when you look at his 18 seasons, Jammer, it's like he's a Hall of Fame career. He's a star, all-star player, but he doesn't carry that look at me, I'm the first on the bus, you know, like you wait for me on the bus. Like it's incredible just how he comports himself with his talent.
There's no question. I think that that's something that I unfortunately failed to mention in describing him, on air. It was one of his best attributes is his humility, his ability to be that star player, but completely approachable. I've played with great players before. Not all of them were as nice. Not all of them were always approachable to anybody up and down the lineup. And that includes people walking into the rink. That includes all the training staff and what have you. It's who he is as a person. It's what makes him host. But I think that he's had a Hall of Fame career. It hasn't gone unnoticed. And I hope he was able to, and I'd like to ask him, I hope he was able to really appreciate one of the few times the game will stop for you.
Yeah, well, you know, he was able to, and it was. I don't know if Philly picked that time to switch goaltenders and take Neuwirth out and put Mason in. But, you know, the game stopped. Unfortunately, later in the game, you know, the consummate pro, the guy who will do whatever, you know, 18 years in the league, still in the penalty kill, still blocking shots, blocks a shot, and had to leave the game. He would have been your interview on the bench. Unfortunately, he was injured, and we'll find out tomorrow the severity of that. But it kind of speaks to the way he carries himself. You know, like, I mean, that he's asked to do everything, go to the third line, continue to be a shutdown defender 200 feet. It's in his DNA.
Yeah, when I got here in 2012, there's a couple things that I noticed about him right away. One was the first thing was how he works. He works every single day. He works on the ice. And I had no appreciation for how good he was defensively, how he would backside pressure, how he was responsible defensively, how he would sacrifice offense. I mean, let's just say if he was more offensive-minded, how many goals would he have then? Think about that. He was over plus 250 in his career, and playing on some bad teams.
Yeah.
In Ottawa, didn't have great teams.
Atlanta.
In Atlanta, terrible teams. And still, he remained a very positive plus player. That's a testament to the type of person he is. That's a testament to the player that he is. And I think you ask his peers, they certainly respect him and know that he's a force to be reckoned with.
You know, when you came here, you were at the end of your career. So you would think that, you know, you walk into a dressing room and if you were scratched or you were tired or you know, the aches and pains of having a long career were wearing on you. When you looked at 81 and his work ethic, did it make you look inside and go, well, you know, shit, he's doing it. I gotta do the same.
Oh, there's no question. And you know what? There's this bunch of guys that allow you to do that. You think about how Jonathan Toews things. And I can rest assured that he learned from Hossa as well coming into the league and the way that it competes. And the rest of us guys all down the lineup, how do you not compete? How do you not block shots? How do you not back check? How do you not sacrifice your body? How do you not get the puck out when you have to, when your star players are doing it? And when you have that accountability that's built in within the culture of the team, led by players like Hossa, it makes it a lot easier for us bums to follow along.
Well, you know, you look at him, and to me, now look, the Cubs, they're still writing their story on the north side, and we'll see if they're able to come back in their NLCS. And look, they've had some big free agent acquisitions, and they've also done it, you know, through the draft. But when you look at free agent signings, Marian Hossa will go down as one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in Chicago sports history. And you know, when you look at what he has brought to this team, it's his ability, but even with success, you know, egos, look, sports is filled with them, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in this town now for 14 years covering this, and I can't think of really one or two times where there were big friction moments, crisis in a room. And I think you've got these, you know, four Hall of Famers together that don't have any of these conflicts. I think it speaks to all of those individuals. And of course, I'm talking about Hossa, Keith, Kane, and Taves. But, you know, and the rest of the room too, Seabrook and whatnot. But it's like they don't have the dirt. They don't air the dirty laundry. Everything's kept in house.
Yeah, there's no pretense. And at the end of the day, the end of the day, the goal is to win Stanley Cups. And I think that a lot of them sacrificed. You could argue that Taser sacrifices offense, but he's about winning championships. You could say the same about Brent Seabrook. It's about winning championships. Go on down the line on their leadership group. It's a culture that they've built. It's a system that works. And they know, but by the collective, they can create and win more and have a more lasting legacy. And we haven't even talked about Hossa and how much courage he has. Who in their right mind leaves a team that just lost in the Stanley Cup Final, goes to that new team, Detroit Red Wings, was in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. lost in the Stanley Cup Final, leaves.
To that team. Yeah.
To the team that they lost right, to, right. loses in the Stanley Cup Final again, then decides to leave again.
And go to the hated rival.
Go to the hated rival
team.
To win a championship, yeah, and then yeah. finally gets to do it. It's that great. Takes a lot of courage.
And think of all the hockey that's logged over that time. You know, we talk about how much hockey these guys have played. He's played in every Olympics. He's played in the World Cup. He went to, you know, three consecutive Stanley Cup Finals, you know, consecutively, and then won his first here, and then, of course, you know, won two more. Okay, enough on the Marian Hossa podcast, because he's taken over this podcast. but last thing for you here, as you look at this team, two wins. The penalty kill has been, you know, has been a problem. They have allowed 8 power play goals in 17 opportunities for the opposition. What needs to be done to fix that penalty kill?
No, it's baby steps, and I can assure you that they're going to get it fixed. And unfortunately, like, you know, anything about schoolwork, when you do poorly in the first few exams, it's tough to raise your average, and that's going to be the battle they're going to fight. So they're not going to be able to judge themselves for the next month, honestly, on their percentage. It's focusing on baby steps. It's getting the kills when they need them. And I felt they have a little bit of a positive thing to build off of. And that was with 8:40 left in the third period in the last game. They got a huge kill. The game at the time was tied 4-4. And they killed a penalty with 8:40 remaining. And even though they did allow 2 goals again in a game, I think there's some positives that they're going to focus on. I mean, it's very easy to focus on the negatives. You're not going to get anywhere like that. It's about trusting each other. It's about blocking shots. It's about getting lanes. It's about managing your depth as a forward so that you don't create seams. It's about blocking wristers as defense. And it's about getting those 200-foot clears. They've got to simplify their game. They've got to trust each other and be positive with each other, because that's the only way you're going to get out of it.
Great stuff, Jammer. We'll see you on next week's Hawks Talk podcast. And by the way, find all our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcasts. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow at CSN, where every single episode is posted along with all of our daily Hawks Talk news and stories. So that's going to do it. Up next, we'll talk to csnchicago.com's Tracy Myers.
Embrace the excitement of Cubs playoff baseball on CSN. Get ready for every big game with David Kaplan and Todd Hollinsworth. Then cool down afterwards with complete clubhouse reaction. Tune in before and after every Cubs playoff game for Cubs Postseason Live with Cap and Holly.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, I'm Pat Boyle with CSN, joined by Tracy Myers. You know her work, csnchicago.com, all over the Blackhawks beat. Yeah. Why are you laughing, Tracy?
I was all over the place tonight, yeah.
All over the place, yeah. Well, that's the CSN way, as you found out.
Yes,
well, this game was all over the place.
Yeah.
Let's talk totally. About, first of all, the Kane, Anisimov, Panarin line. Because I was talking to Jammer in the first part of the podcast saying how, look, I totally understood what Joel wanted to do, splitting up mm-hmm. Panarin and trying to find more balance to the lines. But at the end of the day, they are such a dynamic, special group.
Yeah.
And again, we saw it Tuesday night that they make 2-on-1s look easy. They just... they've got it.
Yeah.
And last year, no team could stop them, mm-hmm. even though they knew that was the line to concentrate on.
Right.
You spoke to them after the game.
Yeah.
What did Kane and Anisimov have to say?
Well, Kane had talked about it coming into this game. We talked to him about it the other day, and he said, listen, it's very easy to look back at what they did last year and just assume that they would pick up right where they left off and then it would be instantaneous. Clearly last year it was. You know, were three guys who didn't know each other from Adam.
Yeah, just
you threw them together, and all of a sudden, oh my God, look at this. A fantastic line that just defied breakup. There was no reason to do it. But, you know, you came in this season, and they've been apart for a little bit. They had their World Cup stuff on separate teams, and it just wasn't quite there. And it was individual as much as it was the group. Anisimov was struggling individually, and he still is with the face-offs. Mm-hmm. It's something he's got to work with. Because he said the wrist, I talked to him up at World Cup, he said the wrist was fine, he was ready to go. The results aren't showing there.
Right.
But you have, you know, Panarin and Kane, obviously that chemistry was so instantaneous. But ultimately, the three of them, where their bread and butter is, besides the chemistry and knowing where each other is at all times, is the puck possession. It wasn't there. It wasn't there as a team for the Blackhawks here early on.
Right.
But definitely that line, that's where that line has always stood out. I shouldn't say always. They've been together for a year and three games.
Yeah.
But that's where that line, that's where you really noticed it, was how well they held onto the puck and how much they created, how much they kept it away from the other team. They were just always on the offensive. You saw that tonight, and you saw it in a big way, and you also saw that quick strike threat that they always have, whether it was them on the line or whether they were together on the power play. You know, now you're seeing it, and it's one game, but three guys got a lot of confidence along with those points tonight, so I would think this heads them in the right direction.
And let's face it, they pulled this game out of the fire because you've got a 4-0 lead, right? And you're looking, and you're like, Philly's at the end of a road trip, and you're thinking, okay, good night. You know, Hossa gets his 500th, and we're like, you know, kind of, your story was probably, what, three quarters written?
Oh, at least.
Three, and then all of a sudden, they storm back. They get four goals in less than 5.5 minutes.
Right.
Holding leads. That's something that this team has been able to do in their three championship runs. When you see them unable to hold a lead, what does that tell you?
Well, I think that's where you're talking about the mix of the veterans who are still trying to get up to speed, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the second line really came through. Hossa got that goal. But it's taken a while. You know, the guys you thought were going to lead this team off the top really haven't been there, you know, not to the degree that they were hoping for. I think that's part of it. Then you've got the inexperience of the new guys, and you've got that blend there. And so I think one thing that we noticed with the Blackhawks at the end of last year, even with the core that they had, along with maybe being a little tired, they were also struggling, I think, with confidence. They had more blowout games last year than they have in a long time.
Right.
You know, these games where they were really just outplayed from start to finish, and you thought, wow, I'm not used to seeing this. So when doubt creeps in, I don't care how much experience you have, you know, and I think that's part of it is now it's mixed with guys that are new at this, and you get a little scrambly and everything. But, yeah, the last two games, it's been pretty glaring.
Talk about doubt creeping in.
Yeah.
One of the staples to at least two of the three Stanley Cup teams was an unbelievable penalty kill.
Right.
Not the case to start this 2016-17 season.
Yeah.
The opponents have scored 8 power play goals in 17 opportunities. Philly used a couple on Tuesday night to get back in the game. All right, so we know there's people like Desjardins, who's obviously he's injured. He's not a part of the equation.
Yeah.
Is it they don't have the right pieces for the PK, or is it not execution with the system that they have set up?
I think it's execution. And you see it at times where, you know, they're set up and everything. The first power play here against Philly tonight, and, you know, Philly coming into Tuesday's game had no power play goals. And then they come away with 2, I believe. So they get their confidence. There you go. Have fun. But I think the big part of it is they're not closing the lanes off. They're not clearing pucks as well as they have in the past. You know, when rebounds are there, they're going back in. I'm trying to remember which goal it was. It's just sitting on the doorstep.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have that. I think Wayne Simmonds' goal. It was a rebound, and he's right there. Nobody's pushing him out of the way, and he gets a second shot, and he gets it. So I think it's a combination of things. I don't think it's the makeup, because this is where most of your veterans are. I mean, all of these guys. Yes, you missed Desjardins. That's one more guy out of the group. And we remembered last year when Marcus Kruger was out. If you have the wrong guy out, it can hurt you. But you still have Marian Hossa. You still have Marcus Kruger, who's great at this. Desjardins. Tyler Mott was very good at it at the University of Michigan. Taves. You have enough guys out there that know what to do. So I think it's more system. I think it's more maybe not blocking lanes and you know, getting those shots cleared and everything, more than it is the personnel.
We mentioned earlier with Jamal Mayers the Marian Hossa subplot, the 500 career goals. Reports are, you know, he was leaving the United Center in a walking boot on Tuesday. Now, you know, truth be told, walking boots are thrown on a lot now these days for even minor injuries,
protective,
just for stability and to help the expedite the process. But that's something we'll be looking at in the days to come.
Sure.
You've covered this team hands-on now for several years. When you look at four Hall of Famers, Kane Taves, Keith, and Marian Hossa, you know, usually if you win, an ego creeps into the room or what have you, and there could be some problems. Right. If you lose, for sure egos, because people are going to get upset and what have you. My amazement is to see that, you know, things are handled in-house, and even if there is, you know, there's something out there, we were summoned in, like the internet reports a couple years ago, we were summoned in. That thing was nipped in the bud before the Stanley Cup playoffs and put to bed.
Right.
When you cover a guy like Marian Hossa and you've seen all the other stuff, does his professionalism, does it surprise you how he's able to comport himself and you know, not let the distractions that affect so many teams in this town.
Right.
It doesn't seem to happen with this team.
No, and with Hossa specifically, I mean, just – I think from the start of his career has just been one of these great diplomats of the game. I actually, just a quick story, I talked with Daniel Alfredson last year
about Hossa,
and they were teammates in Hossa's first years when he played for the Senators. And, you know, I was just talking to him about what he's been able to do his career and everything like that, and I thanked him, and he said, listen, I will talk to you at any time about Marian Hossa. That's how much he thinks of him. I saw Twitter tonight as after he scored 500. I mean, it was some players, it was a lot of journalists, and most of them were all saying the same thing. A winner no matter where he goes, just a great guy. Everybody loves dealing with him, be it here, be it the Olympics, World Cup, whatever. So he's just that type of guy that he's very selfless. Tremendous talent, but he knows it's as much about the team as anybody else. And as far as the Blackhawks core, I think that was instilled in him a while ago. I mean, you look at this core, a lot of them came up together around the same time. And I think they, you know, they suffered early on in terms of, you know, trying to pull this franchise out of the ashes where it had been for decades. Yep. And so they went through that, and it wasn't just handed to them. They had to fight. They really had to work to get this team back. And so I think that's why they're as grounded as they are today, and why if something goes wrong, they shake it off. They may let it bother them internally, I don't know, but they don't put it on the surface, and they do deal with it. You know, look, a couple years ago when they were down to Detroit, they had a team meeting, and your partner in crime now, Jamal Mayers, had a big speech and everything. But this team just always knows how to kind of, I don't know, suppress it or do what it has to do to just say, okay, we're dealing with some adversity. Let's get on with it.
In that series, Detroit down 3-1. It was Seabrook who went in the penalty box and had the conversation with Captain Sirius,
who was
Captain Ticked Off at that time, and got him back together. All right, so as this team gets two victories, we're four games in, 2-2. They've got a back-to-back Friday in Columbus against Brandon Saad and company, and then back here against Austin Matthews, the sensation with the Toronto Maple Leafs, who scores four goals in his very first NHL game, three goals on his first three shots. from a Blackhawks perspective, if there's one thing you're looking at from your perch in the press box that you're going to be looking at, is it the penalty kill, and if they fix it, is it young players emerging in the bottom six, or is it, you know, it looks to me like Panic is, he's deserved of staying with Taves for the immediate future.
Yeah.
You know, is the Mott Taves Panic line, is that, you know, is that what is going to be the Taves line for the foreseeable future?
First of all, it's penalty kill.
Yeah.
Second, and I'll add one here, it's the team game, and you know, if they get out to a lead of any kind in the next game or two, how do they hold on to it? Because right now, two games, it's a blip.
Yep.
Anymore, it becomes a trend. you know, that first line, I mean, we're going on a second start of a season trying to figure out what's going on here.
Right.
You know, you know, you look at everything defensively that Taves does, but very quiet offensively again to start this season. And I didn't really notice the first line at all tonight, not as much as I had.
Yeah.
And, of course, the second line dominated. But there's a couple little things here in the early going. Penalty kill is still number one, because that, just when you thought it was starting to turn the right way tonight, it kind of goes back and again against a team that wasn't doing anything on their power play coming into here. So that is the most glaring issue, because of the years that they have won, at least the years I've been up here, I know people talk about the power play, but the penalty kill has to be great, and right now it's not even good.
Great stuff, Tracy. Yep. We look forward to our weekly chats here on Hawks Talk Podcast. You can, of course, see Tracy's work at csnchicago.com. And you can find all our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcast. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow at CSN Hawks Talk, where every episode is posted along with all your favorite daily Hawks Talk news and stories. And most of that comes from Tracy Myers. I'm Pat Boyle, CSN. Go Hawks, and we'll see you next time on the Hawks Talk Podcast.